Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Amen. Thank you, Emmanuel, for the prayer. And we're going to take a look at God's Word here just a moment here, as soon as I get my sermon slides set up here. And I just want to make sure I can run it. Yes, I can. Okay. I've got it. Joshua, I can take it from here, Lord willing. It'll work. Again, what a great service so far. Thank you so much, team, and Deborah and the prayer team, everybody just helping us. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm just so excited to come to church and to praise the Lord and to bless His name. My dad was a whistler. Any of you whistlers out there? Yeah? I would go, and it seemed to be a genetic trait, because I'm a whistler, and Jordan was a whistler. In fact, the first complaint from kindergarten teacher was, you need to help Jordan to stop whistling, because he learned how to whistle before or during kindergarten and decided that's what he was going to do all the time. And now his youngest, Joe, is a whistler. She just is constantly whistling. It's genetic, I guess. I would go into the hardware store, and I would look for my dad, and I wasn't sure where he was. I would just stop, and I'd go like this, and I would hear the whistling. And I would just hone in on the whistling. I could find whatever department or aisle he was in. I could find him like that because he was a whistler. And I remember it's because my dad decided at some point that he wasn't going to hold back from his joy. And he thought, I remember him saying, all the guys that he worked with, the truckers and the forestry guys and the loggers and these burly men who would come in, and they'd be very free with their cussing and very free with their attitudes and their belligerence at times. And he thought to himself, why would I hold back on my joy in the Lord Jesus? And I thought, what a marvelous thing to think about. And I guess I've just always grown up with that idea in my head that we are free to be happy. We're free to rejoice and to be excited and to whistle a tune if we want. I have a habit too. Mine goes even worse. I'm a singer. I know I don't get to sing here often, although this summer was kind of fun. I got to lead worship once. It was kind of nice. But I don't. I'm not a singer, right? I never grew up singing. When I would sing, they always told me I couldn't sing. They always told me I didn't have a good voice, so I wasn't supposed to sing too loud, right? And I went to Bible school, and you have to sing, and you have to join the college choir, and you have to do this stuff. And then when I got my first pastor, the pastor said, now you can lead worship, right? And I went, of course. I'd never led worship before, but I said, of course, that's what you do, right? You just get the job. I stepped up to the platform, and I just started leading worship, and nobody seemed to complain, so I thought it was okay, but I just have all these songs in my head constantly. I'm like my friend, Brother Hubert Mills from Bermuda. Brother Hubert taught the Sunday school class in Evangel in Montreal, and every single class, he would go, now this brings to mind a chorus that I sang on the island of Bermuda, and he would lead into some song that no one ever knew, but they were always in his head, and I thought to myself, that's me. I constantly have a song in my head. I'm walking around singing a line. It might be K-pop Demon Hunters. I don't know. It might be Golden or Takedown or, you know, but more often than not, it's I look up and see the sun shining and I start singing, it's a beautiful day and I praise God for the weather, you know, or some song just keeps popping in my mind and I'm just singing along because there is something inside of me that longs to let out. It's a joy and a hope. And today I want us to embrace the reality of living large, This is the last sermon in this series on living large. And we live large because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And that's why even the thanksgiving and the singing and the song that's resonating comes from this reality. We can't help but sing because something is inside of us driving us to sing. I think about karaoke. Anyone ever go do karaoke? Some of you do karaoke. I did it in my niece's home once. And the problem was they're all secular songs, and I don't know any secular songs. So I just never grew up listening to music like that. So they'd always pop a tune on, and I don't know what the song is. And so it's frustrating for me. But I often wonder, I see it on TV a lot where people go to karaoke things, and I think, how do they do that? Why would they embarrass themselves like that, get up and sing a terrible song? And why would someone sit in that environment listening to someone creak out a song? And it finally hit me one day. It's because there's a spirit flowing in the place. The spirits of alcohol. You get a couple of beer in, and I'm sure you'd be fine. I've seen people get a couple of beer. I have a family that's silent, dead silent. They never talk. They never talk. Give them two beer, and they're like, what did you say, Chatty Cathy's? They're just like, oh, yeah, how you doing? They're talking away. My brother-in-law, my wife's ex-husband, never heard the guy talk. And then one day I was there. I was living at their house for a bit. What did I say? I missed it. My sister's ex-husband. There we go. Correction made. Just in case some of you were wondering and got all confused. Okay. So my sister's ex-husband. And he never said a word, but all of a sudden a couple of beer in him. And all of a sudden he came home one night and he just started talking to me. And I was just sitting there gobsmacked because I was just like, you're talking. And then I realized what it was. There's something that the release of alcohol can do to release the inhibitions that lets out the ability to get up on a microphone and sing karaoke in front of a whole bunch of people, right? But let me tell you something. There's something interesting about that because Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to 21, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Now, he says debauchery. The word is like that inhibition, doing things that you normally wouldn't do. Things that are you get embarrassed because you normally wouldn't do something like that. So debauchery, at least a foolish type stuff. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence of Christ. This is what happens when the Spirit of God gets in us. A song breaks out. A worship service breaks out because we begin to sing and worship God. Today, I want us to embrace the reality that living large is because Christ is in you, right? In my last sermon, I said to you that you ought to give hilariously. I talked about giving, and the Bible says give with a cheerful heart. The word cheerful is hilarious. There is something exuberant about the giving that we do as Christians. And I would suggest to you today that the same holds true for your worship and your praise and your gratefulness and your thankfulness. There's something exuberant about it. There's something that is outlandish about it. It's even a bit ridiculous, but it's there because it's pouring out from something that's happening inside of you. Okay, let's start by just taking a moment for a moment of thanksgiving. Okay, we heard some testimonies. I need helpers. If I could get Jenny, if you could grab one of these baskets and just pass it along here. Peter, could you grab one of these as well and just pass this in this section over here? And who's this? David, could you come up here and grab this basket? Just pass along. I'd like everybody to grab a leaf. And if you could share the pens, like one per two people or something like that. One per two people. And because I think you'll be able to share it. What I want you to do on this leaf is write a word of thanksgiving. I want you to write a word or a phrase, right? A word or a phrase of thanksgiving that you could give, okay? And in this, we've heard a few good little statements of praise, but I warned you guys, right? I sent an email out and I said to you, be ready to give praise, okay? Write it in nice, legible letters, and we're going to end up in a moment, we're going to get them pinned up out there on our tree of gratefulness, and you've seen as you came in maybe a few of the ones that are out there already, and we're going to go post it out there, so you're going to do it right now, so go ahead, got that pen there, and write it out. Pass the pen to your neighbor if they don't have one. Okay? I'll just give you a moment to do this. While you're doing that, maybe I'll sing a song. No, I'm not going to sing a song. Wish I could play the accordion, though. Look, isn't that cool that Joshua's up here playing the accordion? Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Never seen an accordion in worship at church before? Never? Oh, boy. We had a kid, was a worship leader in my church in Salmon Arm, and he used to pull the accordion out and leave with worship with the accordion in his hands. What's old is coming back. Okay, so as you, some of you are still getting the leaves, some of you are done. Once you're done, you can feel free to pass it to the aisle. Okay, we're going to pass them to the aisle, and in a moment, we're going to collect them, okay? All right, a word, a name maybe? I think we heard already, I'm grateful for my granddaughter. Okay. I'm grateful we can laugh at church. I'm grateful we can laugh at each other. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. When you're done, pass it to the aisle. Pass it to the aisle, and Brittany's going to walk around, and she's going to come to the edge of the aisle. So, Brittany, if you want to come now to the front. Maybe it's Bethany. Bethany? Brittany? Bethany? Bethany, could you come to the front and just... there we go. Okay. And Brittany is going to go and tape these up right now. So before you leave today, your gratitude of expression of gratitude is going to be posted for people to share and hear. Thank you so much with that. This is just the primer for us to remember we are grateful. So here's the text that I've been dwelling on this week. I'm just going to go back to. I've been looking at this, and it was read for us once already, so we can take a look at it again. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, all the lands. As I read it, I'll just give you a couple of notes on it because this is a great text, Psalm 100. All the earth, all the land, you know, it's always hard to debate in the Hebrew, what was that reference? Does he mean all nations? Does he mean the whole world or does he mean the people in the land? Does he mean the Israelites? Translations can be a little bit different on how they pull that together, but I would certainly say across all the lands, all of you who know the Lord. All of you who have experienced. So Israel, even at times when they were scattered, wherever they were, this call can go out across the nations. And now in our New Testament model, where Christ is now going from all nations, people are coming to faith in Christ, we certainly can say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I'll say, all you saints, wherever you live, from the north to the south, from the east to the west, everyone, praise his name. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Did you come in with singing? You sang when we started, but did you come in with singing? That's a good challenging thought. When I walked into church today, was there a song in my heart? Was there something that I was bringing in with me? Or did I come in empty and I said, I have nothing. Can I come and get it here? That's possible. But I think we can all look and say, hey, let's come. When we prepare to go to church and we prepare to come into the place with worship, let's start the singing at home. Let's put on a great song as we're driving up. And let's look at what can we sing for the Lord. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I love in the King James, and some would argue that the word is come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. That's the old King James. If you ever learned the song, Psalm, 100, many, I won't sing it again. But I've been singing it all week long, Know that he has made us and not we ourselves. Right? In other words, not of us. So that translation in some ways does bring a nice understanding of this. He has made us his. We are his, not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves his. It's his elective grace and mercy. It's his choice that he brought us in and made us his people, the sheep of his pasture. So the psalmist tells us, not only calls us to the worship, but he explains to us why. And then he repeats it again in another phrase, in another way. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. I love this. For Thanksgiving, I thought, this is a good song. We should bring this for Thanksgiving today and just reflect a little bit what it means. And what I was feeling in my heart was to remind us that profound praise is both the expected outcome for the redeemed and the commanded response. It's the expected outcome and the commanded response, right? We're called to make a joyful noise to the Lord. This is based on what we know to be true. So in our text it said, know ye that the Lord is God. Other psalms, like Psalm 95, is another good psalm of praise, and it talks about how he has created all things. The sea is his, right? The sea is his. It's not Neptune's. It's not Poseidon's. Other scriptures would remind us, like Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 10, where he reminds us that these so-called gods that other people serve are not gods at all. The sea is not Poseidon's. It's not Neptune's. It's God's. The mountains are God's. The land is God's. There is one God. And he owns it all. And so when the call comes to praise, it's because we know that the Lord, he is God. And of course, this beautiful passage, it tells us that he has made us. He has redeemed us. He's God, the God, the creator, and he's God, the redeemer. The one who made us his own people. That's what God is doing. And that's worthy of praise when we see good things that are being done. And then he goes on in the second half of that text. He says, know that the Lord is good. This is now into the quality of his nature, of who he is. He's good. He's eternally good. Not just good for a little bit. Not just good once in a while. That's me. I'm a good husband once in a while. I'll be honest. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a great husband all the time. I'm a good husband once in a while. When I remember to do it right, I pat myself on the back and I thought, you know what? I did good, But that's the kind of thing for me is like it's inconsistent. And you and I are all the same. We're good once in a while. We're good, but we're always aware of our shortfalls. We're always aware that tomorrow might not be a good day. But with our God, he is eternally good. Everlasting to everlasting, he is good. He'll never not be good. That is an incredible thing to depend on. That's an incredible thing to know, that God will never fail. He is our great God. He's loving, always thinking about us and what's best for us, right? This word says no. So we called into singing and worship because of what we know. But this knowledge is not just intellectual. Right? It's deeper than that. This is the kind of know that in the King James it said, Adam knew Eve and they had a son. And we all know what knew means. It's an intimate knowledge. It's an intimate experience that you have. And in this same sense, this word knowledge goes beyond head knowledge, and it's about an intimate experience. An intimate oneness, an intimacy that we have with God whereby we would say we have experienced this goodness. We have experienced this creator God. We've experienced how good he is. And we can't help but just want to give praise to what has truly been birthed in us. And speaking of birthed in us, it makes me think of Mary, who had Jesus birthed in her by the Holy Spirit. Talk about an intimacy where the Holy Spirit came upon her and she conceived and a child was born into her, right? This is something we can't even imagine. It blows our minds. But yet, and I'm sure it did to Mary. But at the culmination of this, when Mary has all these experiences, she has to deal with Joseph, and I'm sure it was difficult, but she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she meets Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit meets them in that moment. And Elizabeth, the baby leaps within her womb, and she has this praise to God. But Mary offers this one, and it's called the Magnificat. And just a few verses of it says, "And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." You know, we too often dumb down these things as if it were some dry poet that wrote something over years of time. And somehow someone just masterfully crafted something that gave expression, and then they recited it, you know, like some theater person on a stage. This is an exaltation. This is a bursting forth of praise. Now, maybe, did she write it down later? Did she try to put it nicely down on paper? Yes, I'm sure, but that does not take away from the fact that she is expressing an experience she had when she met Elizabeth, and this leapt within her, and this song of praise jumped out of her. Because what? Because the Holy Spirit had birthed Christ in her, and she was blessed. We can't help but praise the Lord when we've experienced him. And has not the Holy Spirit also come upon us? And has he not birthed Christ in us, the hope of glory? We share with this song with Mary, and we say, yes, Mary, I get it. When Christ has come into us, we can't help but want to worship and praise and sing and make a joyful noise to the Lord, because he has done such great things for us. And that's been our theme, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have such an advantage over the Old Testament believer who experienced the Shekinah glory every once in a while, who experienced at times the Holy Spirit doing something marvelous. And yet now we have the Holy Spirit poured out among us. We have the Holy Spirit 24/7 that's here, the Shekinah glory of God that's with us. As Paul had described, it's in you. You now have become a temple of the Holy Spirit. No longer come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise after a long journey to Jerusalem. But we're talking get up in the morning, laying in a hospital bed when you're not sure and you're at emergency, and suddenly you realize the Holy Spirit is in me and I can yet give him praise. I can enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. There's just something amazing about what God has done. There's this guy, John Piper. John Piper. I don't listen to John Piper. I don't know a lot about him. I know he's been pretty popular. I've heard his name a ton of times. But he had this term, Christian hedonism, which I thought was bizarre. And I never heard it because, I haven't studied John Piper. But the idea that pleasures are at the right hand of the Father forevermore, that's biblical. And the idea that joy is the expected result of salvation in Christ. Therefore, his premise is that our purpose as Christians is to seek out the pleasure and joy of our Christian experience. So he calls that Christian hedonism, seeking out pleasure, but not secular pleasure, the pleasure and joy that's there with God. And this is the quote he made, and I liked it. "The treasures of our God in Christ and our salvation, our hope is so spectacularly great and so utterly sure that we should be the most hope-filled, joy-filled people in the world." What do you think? Amen? That's true. That's who we are. Now, so we ought to, as I said, it's expected of us, and it's also commanded to us to give praise to the Lord. I also wanted to just say that singing praise and giving thanks are visible expressions of profound praise. Right? What's the first song in the Bible? First song in the Bible is Exodus 15, after the great salvation experience, the redemption, when they were redeemed from Egypt at the close of the rivers washed back and the Egyptians were destroyed and they realized, we are free. And this song bursts out, you know. It's, you know, praise be to God. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider have fallen into the sea. I will rejoice. I will sing to the Lord. And a song burst out, and the people, maybe they led it in a worship song, and they sang it together, and I'm sure they danced, and they praised God for the horse and rider fallen sea. In essence, the whole story is God has redeemed us from Egypt. Singing is what we do. Singing was a weapon for the Israelites. They went into battle with a song. They went into battle with a song. There is something powerful when we sing that happens in the heavenlies when we declare the praises of God. That's why, to me, October 26th, the end of the month, we're going to do a prayer or praise night. Prayer is great, but so is praise. So is coming together just to worship, because there's something about just lifting up the praises of God. No sermon, just singing and exalting the praises of God that I think offers like salt, like a light on a hill, like with like a barrier against the attacks of the enemy. We lift up the shield of faith and praise, and God does something. That's why, to me, yeah, Halloween is coming up, and it's a celebration of evil. But what do the Christians do? We don't have to run around telling everybody, oh, that's bad, that's bad. We just come together and lift up the praises of God. We just remember, God, you are the Lord of this city. You are the Lord over South Delta. This is your territory and enemy. You have no part in it. And we will praise the God Almighty. That's what we do. It's not a useless thing. Singing is a powerful, powerful weapon. We want to sing, and we should sing. And we should give thanks. Those two are linked together, but there is a subtle difference, right? Singing, the it's that emotional outlet and the vocals. And, you know, can only say that Christ, that God has invented singing, right? The devil always steals what God has created. The devil can't create good and beautiful things, right? So singing is what God created. Right? And we know that the enemy can steal it and use it for terrible songs and songs that are horrible and songs that tear down and songs that don't build up. But we are excited that God has created singing. We can use it to give praise to God. It's part of our DNA of who we are. But we also just give thanks. Giving thanks is just articulating the praise. It's articulating the reason for our praise. Giving back to God that which he has done for us. It's blessing God. Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the, you know, I don't remember all the words in the song, but, you know, bless God. We say these things. It's articulating, and many of our songs will do that for us. They articulate us to give our thanks to God. And so the two can go together. But we need to give thanks. You need to write things down like you did today on a piece of paper and stick it on a wall. There's an act of gratitude that makes a difference. Right? So that's why I had you actually do it, because we just did something. We all expressed gratitude and gave thanks to God. And we just can't do that enough. And then I just want to make a note on this. We are gathering to sing and give thanks to God. We are gathering to give thanks to God. That's what we are doing. And that's what we need to do. Gather to give thanks to God. I have an inside track on this, because I'm a season's ticket holder at the Whitecaps. And I'm not just a season's ticket holder, I sit in the supporter section. That means I stand for the whole game. Right? Over on the sides and other places, they just sit and watch the game. We don't consider them real fans. We're in the supporter section. Now, I don't sit in the supporter section. That's just to my left, and they have a capo. He's called a capo, but he stands there, and he gives them direction, and he helps them, he leads them in the singing. And I don't, because they're a bit crude. I stand on this side, so I join in some of the songs I like, where we sing, you know, ole, 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 you know, we sing a song. But you should see us when someone scores a goal. You should see us when something's happened. You should see us when the ref makes a bad call. I mean, we are there. We are there. It was so hard last night because they had a play game in Orlando, and I'm watching it by myself. by myself. And we scored in the last second. I got my jersey on. I'm standing there watching the game on the TV. And I'm standing there, and we scored the last seconds of the game. Thomas Müller, big left kick. And it went in. And we're like, yeah. And I'm standing there going, ha, ha. And there was no one to high five. No one. I'm like, ah. That's my instinct. I want to celebrate. And that's part of the reason I love we go in our section. And I've been there for like 14 years with some of these people, right? And we're there. And one guy, he's a surgeon, and but he loves the games. He gets in there. And he's there, yeah, we're stretching across three rows trying to slap each other's hands. I don't even know much about them. But we have this unity because we're all fans. So I'm saying I have an inside track. I understand that celebration is something that we have built into us. It's something that we can all do. We can celebrate. And there's something instinctual about wanting to get excited when something great happens, right? So when we come together, there is something powerful. Now, if they can encourage us to do some cheering and I can get excited at a Whitecaps game, let me tell you, I'm 100 times more excited when I gather with you to worship the Lord. I'm 100 times more excited. I just don't run around high-fiving you because you're not that excited. So I hold back just a little bit. And maybe that's a bit of a problem. Maybe that's a little bit of an issue, is that we hold back just a little bit too much. But we gather. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. There am I. The Shekinah glory is here. And I got to tell you something. This is something people say, I don't know if I need church. I'm telling you, you need church. Because there is something powerful about gathering to sing and give thanks to God. There is just something powerful. It's honestly like me running around trying to high-five someone. Like I need someone else to share this with me, and together let's lift up the praise to God. So never apologize for singing when we're worshiping the Lord. Never apologize when we get sometimes just so excited because there's a certain phrase and we're singing, you know, but in the morning, the roaring lion came forth, bursting forth in praise, and we're together and we're like, yeah. And sometimes someone gives a shout, someone claps their hands, someone goes, amen. That's okay. We are excited. God is great. God is wonderful. And I just want to encourage you, let it out, right? Challenge yourself to just express that praise and adoration to God. Don't worry about it. No one's going to freak out. We do it reasonably. Whenever one voice jumps out over top of everyone else, it sounds out of place, right? We can do it together. And we can do it in unity, and we make a shout and a cry to the Lord because God is so good. When two of us come together, I'm telling you, that's why healing happens. That's why people get filled with the Holy Spirit when they're in the worship service or in the gathering of the church, because there's just something special gathering together that releases the anointing, and we can enjoy things, enjoy the presence of God in a greater way. Singing praise and giving thanks are our visible expressions of profound praise to God. He's wonderful. There's this other quote I saw. This guy, he's a Sri Lankan guy, and I found this quote from him. I don't even know who he is, but I thought it was good. The most important thing in our lives is this: Jesus is wonderful. Just think about it. Jesus is wonderful. He's bigger than all the challenges we face. He's right there with us, helping us along, giving us a sufficient grace. So may we remember to stop often from our feverish activity to savor the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation he has given us with all his benefits. You know, it's just a reminder, guys. Why do we hold back from singing and praise? Oftentimes just because we're so stressed about everything else. And when we gather, we remind each other. In the midst of your woe, you hear someone else give praise. Sometimes you get a testimony of somebody who just shares, yeah, I had a terrible day, but God just reminded me how good he is, and someone else needed to hear that. And sometimes when you're walking down the street and you're bothered, maybe the answer is to stop and sing a song of praise. I know many people love to put on a praise track. They love to put on a song in their playlist, and they just listen to some worship tunes, and they just put them on, and you just begin to listen to that. Maybe in a quiet moment, go for a walk and just listen, and even dare to sing along with it. You speak to yourself. this reality that, God, you are so good. God, you are so amazing. This is what we can do. God is so wonderful. So Scripture commands praise because it knows how quickly we can look again through our human eyes of the flesh instead of letting it come from within where Christ is dwelling in us, in our soul, in our spirit that's been renewed. We look in the outside and we see the circumstances, right? We're like Peter on the water. There's Jesus to look at or there's the waves to look at. And we choose oftentimes to look at the wrong things. And I love singing because when we sing and we quote the Psalms and we look at these praises, they put us back into the right perspective. They put us back into the right perspective. We shout out the songs of praise to God and we're reminded that He is on the throne. You know, I heard this quote from C.S. Lewis who said, "The gates of hell are locked from the inside." That was in reference to people saying, how could God let people die? You know, how could God let people go to hell? As a reminder, the gates are locked from the inside. You are welcome to step out anytime. And I was thinking about that because I thought that's so true of our praise. The gates of praise are locked from the inside. If you feel like, I just can't praise the Lord, I just don't feel like it, unlock that key, open that door, and step out into praise. There's nothing holding you back except you. It's not the circumstance. You can't blame the circumstances. You can't say, well, you don't know what I'm going through right now. I've heard too many people share it with me how clearly God has given them praise in the worst of circumstances. So I know this, the power of God Almighty, the creator of the whole universe, has been made real to you in your life. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So please unlock the door and step into some praise. And watch as the shackles come off. Watch as the problems begin to just disappear. This is by no means a denial of the problems or a denial of the circumstances. This is simply choosing to look at the gratefulness and the greatness of God and beginning to lean into that and call out those praises and those situations. That's what we need to do. Invite the worship team to come on back, and we're gonna close today by just singing a song. And I'm inviting you to sing and worship God for the reason of allowing His praise to come forth. Allowing His praise to come forth. Paul and Silas were in prison, and what were they doing? Praising the Lord. I was thinking about this because I thought, were they praising the Lord to get set free? I would say, no, they were not. Why can I say no, they were not? Because if they had been praying and saying, Lord, set us free from this prison, then when the angel broke open the gates, they would have walked out and gone free. They would have said, Lord, you've delivered us. But when the Philippian jailer wanted to kill himself because he assumed they escaped, they said from the darkness, no, we're still here. Then why were they praising the Lord? Because they were saying, I don't care what prison you put around me. My God is on the throne and He will bring His deliverance. And so there was this rejoicing that happens when you are filled with the Spirit, when God begins to work in your life. I'm going to call you to this. This is something I love when you get to a stadium and they say, make some noise, and everybody starts getting loud, right? They pump you up full of air. You know, I do it sometimes at the soccer game or at the Giants game or at a hockey game. You know, they pump you up, right? And it's good, but it's so temporary. It's so short-lived, and there's so little real substance to it. But when Jesus calls us and says, make some noise, all ye lands, shout to Him for gladness. He's calling you to sing. How are you going to respond? Sing because the Lord is God. Sing because the Lord is good. Sing because He is in you, the hope of glory. Sing because He is eternally present and your problems are not. Sing because the lost need to hear it. Sing because the Spirit is upon you. Sing because your soul needs a reminder. Sing because your brother's soul needs a reminder. Just sing out to the Lord. So let me read it again. And in fact, stand together with me. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.